to the entertainment docket for the week of April, what is it, the 28th?
8th.
Wow.
It's May. It's May this week.
That's unbelievable. I'm your co-host, Michael Steele, and alongside me is the lovely, talented Melissa Hansen.
That's it. I'm just lovely and talented this week. I'm nothing else. That's it? Fine, whatever. No, that's all I'll be this week. That's fine.
I'm creatively spent. I'm sorry.
Fine. That's fine. That's all I'll be this week.
How was your weekend entertainment, Ben?
Really good.
Oh.
And really crappy.
Oh.
But the really good part, I saw Kids in the Hall live.
Oh.
This weekend. They're on tour doing, it's an hour and a half of them doing sketches.
Nice.
And it's, you know, real basic. I mean, just like table and chairs, props, basic costumes, you know, throw in a dress and a wig kind of thing. But it's, they bring out some of their old characters.
Nice.
I don't want to give them all away for people going to see, but Mark McKinney may have been wearing feathers at one point. but some of the classic, and of course, there's so many great characters that your favorite's probably not going to be there. It's
okay.
Just some. It's not constant, but it's new material, hysterically funny. Oh my gosh, they're just still hilarious. They just laughed nonstop through the entire thing. And they did too. They kept screwing up their lines and just like cracking up.
Nice.
And, you know, ad-libbing stuff and whatever. So they had fun, so we had fun.
You know, and for a cable series, I mean, this was Lorne Michaels helped develop this for Canadian television. Then it went to HBO.
Yeah.
But this was, I mean, this was back in a day when people didn't have access to cable like they do today.
Right.
So it's kind of obscure, and for them to keep doing this stuff is fantastic.
Yeah, to keep it going. I mean, they all go off and do stuff. It was so weird to see Scott, because like, I just am watching him in Hannibal.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Scott plays one of the techs in Hannibal, so he's very serious and dealing with mutilated bodies.
Ugh.
And then to see him up there, you know, playing a gay bar owner. It's like, it's so funny. But, yeah, so they've all done, like, how many different things. And Dave was on news radio for how long. And I know we don't see, like, Bruce and Kevin as much. But they've done, like, animated voices.
Okay.
And I mean, they've all been working. But they come back together and do these tours or do, like, a special or do, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
For how many years? They were formed in, like, 84, 85.
Yeah, it was an 80s, 90s thing.
Yeah, the show was mainly on early 90s. Kind of thing. Yeah, and they kind of came together as a troupe, and then Mark and Bruce went to write for Saturday Night Live.
That's right, and Mark was actually part of the cast on Saturday Night Live for a couple seasons.
Yeah, and then, so we're writing Saturday Night Live, and then that, whatever, because that was shit years.
Yeah, it was lousy.
No offense to them, it wasn't the writing. It was the Anthony Michael Hall, like, year, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they got back together and Warren produced the TV show.
Yep.
So anyhow, if you have a chance to see them, you know, the tickets are reasonable.
Okay.
And it's just fun.
Nice.
So much fun.
That's great.
So anyhow, I did crush Mark McKinney's head. But anyhow, so that was the good. The bad, well.
Oh, no.
Not bad, the whole thing. Anyhow. I've watched the rest of this final season of Psych.
Oh.
So, well, not all. The last four episodes are on Hulu. Anyhow, they're finally all unlocked on USA and Hulu and stuff.
Okay.
So anybody can watch the finale. It was a shitty season. It was, Dawn reviewed it, the DVD.
Yep.
For the site.
Yeah.
And she didn't have negative things to say.
Okay.
I have a lot of negative things to say. I have a very different opinion than her on the season. Not on the show. I love the show. The show is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorite TV shows.
Well, I can remember when we first watched, we got a screener of the pilot before it even aired, and how much I love that thing.
Yeah. It's a great show. This season, to be honest, I don't think they should have done it.
Okay.
I think they should have done, like, a two-hour wrap-up, like, movie or something instead. So, half the cast is barely in it.
Yeah.
Kristen and Maggie aren't in half the episodes. Corbin's barely in it.
Oh, no.
So it's nice, because we get Lassie, you know, and Gus and Sean.
Oh, all right.
which is always fun to see, but it was, like, so weird. So they were, like, writing people and, like, so, yeah, Chief Vic and Juliet, like, kind of split halfway through. They got new jobs in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Left, but then it was like, what is Sean going to do? And so that, I mean, there was a little bit there, but it was just uneven. They brought in Mira Sorvino, though.
Oh.
For the last couple episodes, or a few episodes. She is hysterical.
Oh. Well, good for
but
her.
It just, like, it made no sense. And they had some really great episodes. So this was, they actually did a musical episode, too.
Okay.
Which ended up airing kind of before the season, but stuff was out of order, too. No, it was just sad. Weird. Which, the musical episode was really good.
Okay.
And Ally Sheedy, Mr. Yang, was in that one. But it was really good, and it was well done. It wasn't, like, crazy. Like, she, they needed her help, and she made them sing. Or, like, she'd help them kind of thing. So it actually made some sense. So that was excellent. There was an episode in London, which was good. They redid one of their earlier episodes. They're like, we could have made this better to begin with.
Shut up.
So they redid it. They got, like, the main guest star. It was Cloudy with a Chance of Murder was the original episode.
All right.
And so they redid it, and they had to recast some of the people. But they got some of the original actors, and they, like, kind of rewrote it.
Wow.
They rewrote it and, like, oh, it should have been this line or it should have been this plot point. And they redid the episode.
Oh, my God.
Which was kind of smart. And then, okay, the season finale, it was 10 episodes. Perfect finale, I think.
Oh, good.
Perfect. It was, like, wasn't, like, completely out of the ordinary stuff. There was a typical case they were solving.
Yeah.
But Sean had to decide to stay with Gus or move to San Juliet.
Okay.
Kind of thing. As of course it ends up, this isn't a big spoiler, but in San Francisco.
Okay.
And he's like, to Chief Vic and Juliet, he's like, I'm going to come here and consult with you here. And Chief Vic says, we already have a consultant.
Ooh.
And Juliet says, yes, he's in the kitchen alphabetizing the pantry. So they don't say the name, Monk.
Oh, that's
which
funny.
Which was a nice nod.
That's funny.
So it had little stuff like that. And it ended on an Oingo Boingo song.
Oh, cool.
So I don't think you can beat that. Anyhow, so fans, you're going to make it through the season just to see, but you'll be rewarded with a finale.
All right. Well, I kind of stopped watching about halfway through season 5, so I have a lot to catch up on.
Yeah. Yeah, and you should, because it's a high-quality show.
It is.
It really is. Like I said, this season, because of Maggie doing Back in the Game, and because of whatever else,
yeah,
it just, so many reasons, it just is a very uneven season.
Well, and for those who don't know, Corbin shot all of his stuff mm-hmm. at one time, because he lives in Los Angeles, his family is there, so he would go up in big chunks of time, and they would shoot his scenes for each episode all together in one chunk. So,
yeah, they would shoot a bunch. It wasn't, like that. But anyhow, yeah, just know if you're a fan and haven't watched it, it's just really uneven.
Yeah.
But we get a nice payout at the end.
So. Oh, that's good. Did Cybill Shepherd ever come back this season?
Not this season.
No, all right.
But, she shows up now and then, and then... Yeah.
Okay.
So, really good. And McNabb gets a nice at the end.
Oh, good.
That was actually my favorite part. Nice little McNabb. Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So we kind of know everybody's going to be okay, kind of thing.
Yeah.
At the end of it, which is nice because we love it. We love these people. We really, really like and even adore some of these characters.
Yeah.
And it's a nice ending. It's a nice wrap up. And they could always come back and do movies or something too.
That's true. That's true. I've been doing a little revisiting of my own in what little time I've actually been around between the work I've been doing in Boston and the theater stuff. I just have not had any time to do anything. So when I come home and do some verdict work, I'll throw on Amazon Prime, because Batman the Animated Series, the entire 4 seasons is now available on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
And this show kind of redefined what superhero animation was in the 90s. I mean, Bruce Timm, who had come off Tiny Toon Adventures with Paul Dini, The two of them created this series, which still, to my mind, is the definitive Batman universe and what they were able to do with this. And great voice talent. Kevin Conroy did the voice of Batman. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill did the voice of Joker.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's just some of the animation, which was so visually stunning at the time, it was all very Art Deco, set kind of in this nondescript 1940s type world. So visually stunning. It doesn't necessarily hold up because of what we see of animation today. Our expectations have changed. So it feels a little doughy at times and not as crisp as I remember it being. But still, the storytelling, just what they were able to accomplish with these 65 episodes is just, it blows me away. So.
Okay.
Speaking of superheroes, we had one fall at the box office this week.
We did. I was wrong. I was wrong in one of my predictions. Yeah. But yeah, Captain America fell. The Other Woman came in first place with $25
million.
Yeah. And then Captain America second with $16 million.
Yeah.
So pretty low numbers overall. And then here's why I was wrong. Third, Heaven is for Real.
Go figure.
With $14 million. And then Rio, two with $14 million.
Yeah.
And running out is Brick Mansions, which was 9.6. That's Paul Walker's posthumous release there. So,
and Johnny Depp's movie Transcendence only pulled in $4 million for a total of $18 million over 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow.
That's huge disappointment.
Yeah. Really big.
There is no telling what next... what next week's going to hold. No, actually there is, because Amazing Spider-Man 2 is coming out on Friday.
Yeah. And
that will dominate the box office for the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
We also get Elizabeth Banks doing what looks like a leftover Cameron Diaz script from about 10 years ago called Walk of Shame.
Yeah, it kind of does, but it's Elizabeth Banks, so it would be better.
I know. And then Bad Johnson, which I saw the trailer for. It's this womanizer. His penis comes to life in human form.
Oh, good Lord.
Uh-huh. And it's a buddy comedy about him and his penis, who happens to be like a stoner.
Excellent.
So, of course,
that's
worse
than a talking teddy bear. Good Lord.
So he has no penis. He looks like a Ken doll, and yet his new roommate, best friend, is his human penis. All right. Whatever.
Okay. Anyhow.
Right. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Yes.
Kellan Lutz in Legend of Hercules, which is a movie that barely anybody saw.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven in the British drama Mr. Selfridge, season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet in Jason Reitman's Labor Day. We've got the Hill Street Blues complete series from Shout Factory. And
wow.
Then
nice.
Jim Thomas is working on that for us. It's a huge set. And then a shit ton of Godzilla and Gamera movies coming to DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes.
In anticipation of the new Godzilla movie. So if you've missed any of those, here's your chance. Over at Redbox, we've got... it's always weird. Redbox is getting more like Hulu these days. It's either really good stuff or stuff you don't care about. Walking with Dinosaurs, the movie. Okay. Scooby-Doo's WrestleMania Mystery. And then a bunch of horror or independent horror and action films like Bloodshed, Butcher Boys, Junction, and Extraction.
Okay.
Yeah. At Netflix, there's some more interesting stuff. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Don John is now available.
Oh, good. Okay, wait. Got it. Okay.
Yep. Which we didn't get a review copy of, so maybe one of us will watch that and write it up.
Okay.
Actually, we need to start doing Netflix reviews anyways. We've had that on the on the drawing board for a while. We just haven't gotten around to it. Anton Yelchin in Odd Thomas, which is another movie we did not get for review. Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell in a Roman army thriller called The Eagle, which co-stars Donald Sutherland. I don't remember this movie. But it was before Channing Tatum became huge.
Yeah.
And then we've got Scarlett Johansson.
He did a lot of stuff before.
He did.
Became huge.
Like Step Up and stuff like that. Scarlett Johansson and Woody Allen's Scoop, which is another Woody Allen movie I have not seen. Oh, and then for reality TV fans, Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown is on Netflix this week. Over at Hulu, three classic Godzilla movies. Godzilla versus Hedorah, Godzilla versus Ibra, and then my personal favorite, which was Godzilla versus Gigan, which is also known as Godzilla on Monster Island, which is one of those free-for-all, all the biggest monsters, like Mothra and, Rodan, the pterodactyl thing. It just, yeah, it's classic.
Good, then.
Burt Reynolds and Reaper's Brett Harrison in a kind of comedy thriller called Deal.
Okay.
And then over at Hulu. Also, Lindsay Lohan plays Elizabeth Taylor and Liz and Dick.
Oh, my.
Ugh. Ugh. All right, that's all I've got for streaming and physical media this week.
Okay. Well, on TV this week, Monday night is the season finale of The Following on Fox. Tuesday, new comedy, new chick buddy comedy on USA called Playing House. Mm-hmm. Thursday, NBC has the iHeartRadio Music Awards.
Okay.
A bunch of acts that I don't really know well.
Yeah.
Because I'm too old. And then also on Thursday, we have the finales of Vikings on History and Portlandia on IFC.
Nope.
Saturday, ABC is showing Transformers, the movie.
Oh, the original one?
Yeah. And then Sunday, it's the finale of Resurrection on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's The Simpsons' 550th episode.
Holy shit.
But they're all Lego.
What?
Yeah. So, special episode there.
Wow.
Celebrate 550. Unbelievable. Wow. Music this week, the Pixies!
Oh, my God.
Have one called Indie Cindy. Nice. And then Chris Robinson, Black Crowes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff, Phosphorescent Harvest is his new one. And then Funny Girl, original Broadway cast recording. 50th anniversary deluxe edition.
Crap.
So it's a big box set with a remastered CD and a vinyl and a book and like all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
If you are a Barbara fan, you will want to pick that up. And then also not quite music, but out this week, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, nice.
Obsessed.
I saw him on some commercial the other day.
He's so funny.
He is. Oh, it was Comcast or Xfinity or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, books this week, it's, again, like nonfiction week.
Mm.
Part Swan, Part Goose, an uncommon memoir of womanhood, work, and family by Susie Kurtz.
Oh.
Yeah, that interesting one there. Hmm. I'm sure she has kept quite a career.
Yeah.
And then, talk about quite a career, Let's Just Say It Wasn't Pretty by Diane Keaton.
Ah.
Yeah. And then, A Season to Remember, Faith in the Midst of the Storm by Carson Tinker and Tommy Ford. It's about Crimson Tide, oh. University of Alabama.
Yeah.
A tornado ripped through and, like, destroyed the town.
Oh, wow. I don't
in 2011.
Remember. I don't remember that.
It's about
that.
Coming back, the town and the team from that.
Huh.
And so it's written about Carson Tinker was on the team. And, like, his girlfriend died in the storm.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. So, sad story, but it's all about his faith bringing him through.
All right.
So, and then a book called Who is George Lucas? By Pamela Pollock and Meg Belviso.
Okay.
It's a biography, but it's a children's book.
Oh.
And they've done a few of these. So, kind of famous celebrities, but, yeah, for kids. Like, who is this? But they wanted to Steve Jobs, too, I think. So.
Oh.
Anyhow, so, yeah, all you big Star Wars fans who want to make a kid Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick that up. Okay. So, we have a little bit of a delay in the theater world. It was scheduled again May 29th, but previews are going to start June 2nd. But it is definitely coming to the stage. Hear Me, it's a musical inspired by the work of Tupac.
Oh, God.
So it's not about him. It's not a biographical story, but it uses his music.
All right.
And it's about, you know, a couple young guys trying to live out their dreams and in a poverty-stricken Midwestern industrial city.
Okay.
So, but anyhow, it'll be a lot of his songs used in that.
Well, I finally get a break in mid-May between shows, and I am going to go to New York for a couple days and see how many shows I can see. I wanted to get tickets to Hedwig, but they are completely sold out.
They're not completely sold out. They have $300 tickets.
Well, yes, exactly.
but so for the average person, just consider it sold out.
But there are tickets available for Alan Cumming in Cabaret, Heather's the Musical, Denzel Washington in Raisin in the Sun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll see what I can...
Cabaret would be on my list.
Yeah, well, and I have never been to New York City. I mean, aside from flying through the airport, I've never been in the city itself.
I was there when I was, like, in junior high.
Yeah.
Did a couple days. It's all Big River on Broadway.
Ah, okay.
Did, you know, went to Bloomingdale's, which for, you know, 14-year-old girl is just about as good.
Yeah. So. What I won't pay to see is James Franco in Of Mice and Men.
No.
Ugh.
Then pay to see Chris O'Dowd in Of Mice and Men. How about that?
I don't know if I could take the good with the bad.
I don't know. I'm a fan of Franco.
Yeah. He drives me nuts.
I know.
All right. In entertainment news, we are rapidly approaching May the 4th, which has become the universal celebration of Star Wars fanatics. May the 4th be with you.
In case you're still smart.
And Disney is finally expected to reveal the cast list for J.J. Abrams' Episode 7.
Okay.
Which is now deep into development. Now, in the meantime, there's like little bits and pieces of things that are being teased out, like... Lucasfilm has just announced that they have put together a story group that is going to oversee connecting all of the various Star Wars content that has been created over the years, from books and comic books and video games and animated series. So they're going to try and do a Marvel Cinematic Universe type thing and pull all of it together.
Okay.
Which has got to be a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
But they've got four new novels that are coming out. That are going to set up one. The first one is called Star Wars: A New Dawn, which will set up the forthcoming animated series for Disney XD called Star Wars Rebels, which is
so original with these titles.
Which is set in the original trilogy time period.
Okay.
And then there's three more novels that are coming after that will help to set the stage for the next film. But flying under this new Star Wars Legends banner, they're also going to go back and republish all of these. Original novels that were created going way back to the 70s.
And bored, so.
Yeah. But, like, the only one I actually read was called Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which I thought was just phenomenal, and I think it came out, like, after Empire Strikes Back or something, but
okay.
There's just a ton of books that have been written that they're going to try and keep all these things together.
All right.
So for as ambitious as that is, and excited as people can be, Warner Brothers has officially gotten into bed with Zack Snyder, Mr. 300 and Watchmen, to be kind of the Joss Whedon of their DC Comics universe. Which, shoot me now, Man of Steel was one of the worst movies I've had to suffer through. So not only is he directing and producing Superman versus Batman, he's going to follow that up with the Justice League movie. So, I don't know. I'm not a Zack Snyder fan. Other people are very excited, but I think this guy is way overrated for what he brings to the table. Chelsea Handler is working with Netflix to develop a show to replace her recently vacated E! Series.
Cool.
It's unlikely she's going to recreate the same talk show format.
Yeah.
So this will likely be either an unscripted reality-type comedy or a sitcom, because Netflix is really pushing their comedic offerings to balance all of the great original dramatic stuff that they're doing. They've just signed a new deal for a sitcom called Grace and Frankie, starring Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Nice.
So, yeah, you're going to see more comedy stuff, like Arrested Development, coming from Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg has lined up his next two directing projects. The first is an untitled CIA thriller set during the Cold War, which stars Tom Hanks, unsurprisingly. And it's based on the true story of an attorney who was recruited by the agency to help spy on the Russians. And he's going to follow that up with an adaptation of Roald Dahl's Big Friendly Giant, which is a story that I don't know.
Oh, this is, what are, like, junior high? This would have been maybe, like, junior high reading list.
Yeah, because I know Willy Wonka. I know...
maybe it would have been, like, fourth or fifth grade kind of
James
thing.
And the Giant Peach, but this one I don't know.
This is another one. This is one that's taught in schools a lot.
Okay.
At least now. I think after us.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of now, it's pretty typical.
All right. Well, there will be a lot of people looking forward to that.
Yes.
With the huge buzz surrounding X-Men Days of Future Past, Fox is considering development of an X-Men television series with writer-producer Simon Kinberg. Next season, we're already going to see The Flash and Gotham hitting primetime, as well as four new Marvel series coming to Netflix. So it won't be surprised if we're going to see even more stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And in one of the weirdest stories of the week, documentary director Zach Penn and producer Simon Chin set the web on fire this past weekend by releasing footage of a New Mexico landfill excavation.
Yes.
That uncovered hundreds of unsold Atari 2600 game cartridges, which included the movie tie-in for E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
Which is universally known as one of the worst games of all time. Now, we actually had that. My brother and I actually had that game.
Really?
Along with Raiders of the Lost Ark. And of course, by today's standards, all of that Atari stuff just looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we had fun playing those, like Pitfall and stuff like that. And it was just ridiculous. Little, you know, pixelated. They didn't even look like human beings. E.T. looks like a question mark or something, you know, like a backwards question mark. But I don't know. It's funny, though, if it's true that the company was so disappointed with how it turned out that they actually went and took their entire inventory and just dumped it.
Yeah.
She's crazy. All right, and then finally, in what is the worst-case scenario for Star Trek fans, Roberto Orci is lobbying Paramount to make his directorial debut by directing the third film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after Star Trek Into Darkness and the script that he and Alex Kurtzman and Damon Lindelof came up with, mm-hmm. they should be banned from ever working on Star Trek ever again.
I would agree.
Blah. All right, I'm done.
All right. So you know how Justin Bieber's out of Calabasas and Kourtney Kardashian moved in?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I told you all this. Well, neighbors are maybe wishing Justin was back. Well, maybe not that far, but they're all pissed, the neighbors, because there's not supposed to be filming in the community and there's not supposed to be workers there.
Oh, boy.
You know, outside of daytime hours. And, of course, this huge production filming the show is set up.
Yep.
You know, at her house and all over the place kind of thing. So she's already pissed off her new neighbors.
Jeez.
Yeah. And they have to live by Scott. So I think you'd be more upset with that, but whatever.
So anyhow,
yeah.
You
she is not making friends.
Oh, well. Not that that family ever makes friends anywhere.
No.
All right. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. You know how you mentioned all like American Godzilla stuff?
Yes. Yep.
Mill Creek is releasing all this.
Yep.
So we have, ready?
What?
Gamera, Volume 1 on Blu-ray.
Oh.
Which has a bunch of movies.
Yep.
Volume 2 on Blu-ray, which has even more movies.
Nice.
And then the Legacy Collection.
Oh.
Which is DVD, but even more. Plus, we will throw in Godzilla, the animated series on DVD.
Wow. Monsterific. All right.
Yes.
Well, that's great to hear. Everybody needs to get on that right away.
Yeah. So dvdverdict.com/contest.
There you go.
You can enter to win this huge prize pack.
Sweet. All right. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in, reading our reviews at dvdverdict.com, listening to our podcast at dvdverdictpresents.com, and checking out the news at dailyverdict.com. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
And how I get surprised without your love. Since last time, we said goodbye.